Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And so if the past is history, the future a mystery, and the present a gift, then media theorist Douglas Rushkoff says it's time to look that gift horse in the mouth. In his new book, Present Shock, When Everything Happens Now, he argues that we have become so overwhelmed with the present that we've lost sight of the future. Welcome back, Doug. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, good to be with you.
And Present Shock is a reference to the classic 1970 book, Future Shock, by Alvin Toffler. What's the relationship?
Right. Well, you know, Toffler was basically in the 1970s telling us that change was happening so fast that we were becoming, you know, unhinged and disoriented. And he was arguing that, you know, we actually had to teach futurism in schools so that people would be better able to deal with this, you know.
The pace of change.
Right, the pace of change. And I'm arguing that, you know, the future is, in some sense, the future is now, or the future is so 10 minutes ago, depending on how you look at it, that the problem is not that things are changing so much. We're actually in that future. The future has arrived. It's here. You know, and whether it's, you know, looking at it from the sense of having passed the millennium and being over the industrial age and over these all these sort of quaint notions of progress and growth and moving forward, or whether it's just the assault of all of our digital devices really pinging us with news of the now, that it's become almost a bigger challenge for us to deal with.
Which leaves us what? Almost paralyzed in time?
In a sense, yeah. I mean, in the book, I look at sort of five syndromes that kind of happen to us. You know, I sort of break it down into almost psychological reactions or responses to it.
Give me one.
Well, one of them, you know, that it's kind of the easiest one for people to relate to, I guess, is narrative collapse. You know, if you don't have a story, if you don't have time to tell a story, then how do you convey meaning? You know, so we end up, you know, really in a world where, you know, political parties can't use goals and sort of ends justify the means journeys to motivate people, and television shows can't really point to some future conclusion as the way of getting people's interest, you know.
So in the TV realm, on narrative collapse, some examples you give, The Simpsons, Community on NBC, Mad Men, Breaking Bad, all of these. Take one of them, like Breaking Bad, you say it has what you call sustained tension, but without long-term resolution.
Right. I mean, you're not really watching any of these. I mean, that's sort of the Breaking Bad, Game of Thrones like show where you're watching it kind of in some ways the way Grandma used to watch her stories, what she called them, her daily soap opera, where you're watching it more as this sort of real-time textural drama rather than looking for some long-term, you know, resolution. What's the, you know, the climax and recognition? You know, you're never going to get it.
I wonder, and I actually haven't seen House of Cards, but if that binge release all 13 episodes at the same time thing changes that. Because I was speculating that if you're going to sit down and watch 13 episodes of something, it better have a beginning and a middle and an end and leave you satisfied
when
it concludes.
I mean, House of Cards in some ways is that it emerged after I finished the book, but it's the prototypical Present Shock television experience, right? Because on the one hand, you watch it in your own time. Right. They don't release it as some 13 episodes once a week over the course of a season. They release it all now. You know, here it is. So, and we end up with that sort of digital age choice, the technological choice of, do I watch it all at once? Do I watch it once a week? Do I watch it once a night? So you get all that autonomy, all that control over your viewing experience of this film, that TV series that was actually pretty much arrived at through big data analysis of people's viewing habits, which is another story. You're watching this kind of very soulless piece of media. But the problem with it is, how do I go to work the next day and talk about it? It's like, oh, did you see, you know, House of Cards last night? Well, yeah. Well, which episode did you see? Oh, well,
yeah,
I can't talk to you because you're going
to... I know. Everybody's a walking spoiler alert.
Exactly.
Listeners, if you have a question or a story to relate to Doug Rushkoff, his new book is called Present Shock, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Does this sound like the world that you're living in? I wonder if there's a kind of backlash, at least in some circles, to this present shock that we see in things like the popularity of the moth, so that people go and they tell stories for recreation and compete at telling stories, which are narratives, or This American Life on public radio, drawing younger listeners into public radio. And those are stories.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, in some sense, you know, one reaction to present shock is almost extreme presentism. Right. So that we reinvent some of these old forms, even narrativity or political engagement, but we reengage them as sort of presentist, real-time participatory activities like live radio, you know, or and the amount of sort of user participation that you have.
Or story slams at the moth.
Or story slams at the moth, where you imagine, and you could be the next person telling that story, you know, or Jody's thing, where people start asking each other questions in real time.
Our producer Jody Avergan, yeah, who has a gig that he calls Ask Roulette. People come and ask each other any question on stage.
Exactly. You come in and you are going to be put on the spot in real time. You know, it's the same thing with politics. It would be the Occupy movement. Right, which instead of being this sort of long-term goal, you know, come join us as we march down the street and, you know, we're going to, you know, put a man on the moon or stick a flag in there or do something. Eyes on the prize, ends justify the means, political activity. It's more, no, we're going to sit here in the present and we're going to be the actual thing that we're talking about.
As it pertains to social media, we noticed that in a column on CNN last month, you compared Facebook to a Tupperware party and announced that you were quitting Facebook. Why a Tupperware party, first of all?
Well, Tupperware party is kind of an exploitation of community impulses. You know, you have people come over to your house, and Tupperware, the corporation, understands that, oh, there's going to be all these terrific social pressures we can exploit. Because you go to this person's house, you feel obligated to buy this thing because they baked you some macaroni and cheese. You know, so
they're your neighbor.
Right. And, you know, that's basically the Facebook model, where they create this sort of illusion of social connection in order to exploit it. In this case, with, you know, sponsored stories. And, I mean, the reason I had to leave Facebook was really as an author who sees himself as kind of a digital literacy advocate. You know, I can't be there soliciting the likes of people or likes from people who are then going to be exploited through those likes, you know, because they can end up being shown in an advertisement, not just for my stuff, but for something I might have liked in the future. But in terms of presentism, the great thing about Facebook, or the shocking thing, is all times become in the same time. I mean, friends of mine, enemies of mine from second grade and third grade show up in the present just alongside my current friends. There's just no way to recreate the buffer that time had given me, you know, from my own past.
Do you miss anything about Facebook?
Oh, not yet. No, it was weird. You know, I was so scared because here I am, you know, promoting a book. You don't leave Facebook when you're promoting a book. It's the last thing my publicist heard. Oh, my God, they were so freaked. But I was just – it was this huge weight. It was this huge weight off my shoulders, and it became this easy way when people come to me and say, oh, I'm not liking Facebook, to be able to now tell them, well, you know, you're in charge of your life. You can actually go. It's okay. You know, it's like relieving people of this, you know, cult participation.
Douglas Rushkoff, author of Present Shock, When Everything Happens Now, 212-433-WNYC. And Dean is listening in Richmond, Virginia. Hi, Dean. Dean, you there? Dean, can you hear me? Oh, we're having such phone problems today. Dean, you there? All right. Ah, now we got you. Hi.
Hi. So I wanted to ask a question, which is that, you know, I'm a millennial. I am a 20-something-year-old I think there's a phenomenon among my friends that, you know, if I were to move into an apartment now, there's no way I would invest in cable. It's just the kind of costly investment that I would just switch off for watching TV online, investing in Netflix, Hulu, whatever it is. And I think that that's largely right why we got House of Cards, that kind of thing, and really speaks to the kinds of things that you wrote your book about. I'm just curious how you think that generational shift is really going to affect shows in the future. I don't even want to say television shows because maybe they won't be that, but how it would affect production.
Well, I mean, in some ways it affects everything. You know, digital technology, particularly the internet, has given us the ability to do whatever we want a la carte, right? So it's not just that you can now get your television a la carte. You can get your education a la carte. You pick which course you want. You know, you pick your own path through something. So while on the one hand, this is great because it gives you, you know, you do what you want, as you want, when you want it. On the other hand, it makes it very difficult for, you know, those of us who may have developed kind of prescribed paths through material to make it incumbent upon someone else to actually follow that path. You just get what you want when you want it. It's like, well, it used to be to discover, you know, a third generation beat novel. You'd have to be at St. Mark's Books and go through and find these people. Now you just get it in one Google search. So I think what it's going to do is make that kind of linear participation voluntary. You know, those of us who want to tell long stories and those of us who want to get them, but those of us who want to sell them or tell them are going to have to get people's voluntary submission. So whether you're enrolling in a school program, you know, if you're going to come to my department at some big university, you are surrendering your authority to someone, but you're doing it voluntarily rather than through force.
Dean, thank you.
If I could just ask a follow-up. Do you think that means that, a lot of these companies are going to become much more individualized, that you're going to have sort of smaller need-focused companies rather than, you know, NBC, these giant companies that have much more influence over the kind of product that we think?
We already do, don't we, with fractured audiences compared to the past and 1,000 cable channels and a million websites?
But I think what's going to happen is we're going to end up these sort of smaller companies. What you're calling smaller companies are going to end up being platforms through which people sell each other stuff in a peer-to-peer fashion, as an Etsy fashion, or even, you know, I'm doing work with Codecademy where people write courses for one another rather than getting them from, you know, big companies. And the big companies will go back to doing what they do best, which is kind of providing a very curated, high-quality materials for people.
Dean, thank you. I want to get your reaction to one thing on the show last week, and I hope we have time left to do this justice, but you used to argue that the digital native generation, Dean's generation, was worldly and wise to marketers' tricks. And growing up with the web, they weren't going to be fooled like, you know, people of older generations might have by marketing. But you flipped on that, and you said the marketers are catching up. Just last week, we had on the media co-host Bob Garfield with his co-author Doug Levy on the show to discuss their new book about the relationship era of marketing. And here's how Bob argued that there's more equality in the relationship today.
We stopped paying attention to what companies and brands had to say about themselves, because who cares? And we are talking among ourselves about all of these third parties, and that's how we form our conclusions. And fourth, maybe because of all of the above, and maybe not, but in any case, this all happens at a time in the history of society when, for whatever reason, people care more about a brand's values and its behavior, conduct, and so forth, than it does even about the goods and services themselves.
And I thought, hearing Bob Garfield that day later as I was thinking about it, gosh, that was Doug Rushkoff circa 1992 when he thought the consumers really were developing more power over the marketers.
Right. I mean, I make the same argument in Present Shock that as mythology dies down, our connection to brands, which were really invented to buffer our relationship to what was going on in a factory rather than to enhance it or to communicate it, the brands die away. And the kind of nonfiction relationship to these products is what matters. You know, so we stop worrying about whether, you know, cookies are baked by elves in a hollow tree and start worrying, are little children losing their fingers when they're making these cookies? And that matters to us almost more than the cookies. I agree with that. What the problem that I'm talking about in terms of screenagers and millennials today is that because they were raised with these things in their lives as given circumstances, they tend to accept these things at face value. So they accept Facebook as, it's just here to help me make friends, rather than seeing kind of behind the curtain.
And the conversation continues as advocate for media literacy. Doug Rushkoff is out with his new book, Present Shock, When Everything Happens Now. So illuminating and fascinating, as usual. Thank you.
Thank you.